Okay, here we are on Tuesday, May 7th, 2019, at our 2 p.m. legal counsel update. Our chair, Commissioner Morgan, is just running a hair late and will join us soon. But let's look at item number one, draft bid documents for qualified contractors for solid waste cleanup.
Leah, are you ready to?
These are the documents that we were talking about last week when Mike Weber was here, and we were talking about making a list of qualified contractors to clean up the properties where we are abating the nuisance, the trash properties. So the first one is, the first document is a request for qualifications where we tell them what we need them to provide us. The second document is a statement of qualifications which they fill out and send to us. Once we determine who's qualified, we'll make a list, and then when we have a property to clean up, the property specialist will send out an email to the qualified contractors that says, hey, there's a property that needs to be cleaned up. You can look at it from this time to this time on such a date. Send me your bid by X time, and then from there they will figure out who gets to go out and clean it up.
Did we confer with, like, for instance, SOS, Southern Oregon Sanitation? They had a weigh in on this, and Republic also?
Yes.
Did they? Because that's who's going to end up with it. I think that was one of the big concerns was who's taking who what and who can accept what and
yes.
So on and so forth. Okay.
Yeah, so we have it so that SOS or Republic will provide the bins and we'll haul them off.
Okay, is there a schedule, a not to exceed? I think that was one of the questions that was brought up that started, I think, this whole thing is, okay, we'll supply the bins, and then because it was during the fire season, here was a contractor mm-hmm. that was going out to clean up a property and no bids were available mm-hmm. until after fire season, so it had been months, so they couldn't do their job and they weren't allowed to haul refuse in their own trailer, and so it just, everything ground to a halt. Is there any commitment in here from the provider, from SOS, from our franchisee that says they will respond in a certain amount of time?
My understanding is yes, they have bins set aside for us to use.
So this is different. I mean, I was talking to Pat Fahey. They say they have some set aside in the Solid Waste Agency that we can have dedicated for whatever project we want, separate from the contractors. So the bins they have set aside, he told me, are specifically if we had a project that the county wanted to clean up, and to use, we can utilize that. That's separate than the contractors and the third hauler issue.
Well, I'm talking, this is the contract. These are the folks that, this is a request for qualifications, cleanup services for public nuisance abatement. So that would be a third party hauler or whatever. But what I'm...
Well, yes. This is for the properties of the counties cleaning up, not that third-party hauler cleaning up for other hire, which is that issue that we were dealing with. And I still think we need to address that issue very strongly because...
Well, I do too. I mean, if we're going to have some rules governing us or governing them, it should govern us. Don't you think?
I absolutely. So just to be clear, we were talking about simplifying the county's process of cleaning up properties by pre-qualifying some contractors who then when the bid for properties come up, they can submit and not have to be qualified. We've already pre-qualified them. So it would help our process through the county's cleanups to go quicker.
But couldn't we extend that to, like, say, Evergreen Bank has one that needs to be cleaned up. They end up at the back, and Evergreen Bank does. Can't we say that they need, these are the qualified contractors?
I think that...
Is that are we labeled to do
that? Can I ask a clarifying question there?
Yeah.
Are you talking about for other types of cleanups other than...
County.
Than county?
Yes.
I don't see a personal issue with that. I mean, my concern is that we have this designated list for doing the cleanups related to solid waste issues.
That on county-owned property.
My understanding
not necessarily.
No.
Or county-owned or court-ordered.
Okay.
Sorry.
My understanding was that we did get bins set aside for us to use for the solid waste nuisance cleanups.
Correct.
Yeah. So that they're not cleaning our properties. They're cleaning... court-ordered property.
Correct. But what I was realizing is from what I was hearing from Commissioner DeYoung, We have a separate issue that we're dealing with third-party haulers.
Okay.
On, say, a realtor hires a third-party hauler to clean up a property. We're having issues with them being able to take those issues. And that's not this. And so I was just trying to clarify that I hear two different, your questions and theirs
too, but can we make this apply to all cleanups, whether it be through the bank, whether it be through a title company, whether it be through whoever? These are the qualified contractors to take stuff to the franchisee. That's the connection.
I like the connection. I think it would be a discussion that we need to bring with our solid waste representatives. I'm pointing at Connie because she's one of our three. Rob is the other one, and Justin is the third. Because I know that involves the solid waste franchise agreement.
Well, the whole thing came to this office because of the fact that we have a private contractor that wants to haul to our solid waste, our franchisee, and the franchisee says, "Well, you can't do that."
It's not a consistent process of how they're followed, because I see contractors doing it all the time, and yet they're holding it accountable to one and not all. I totally hear you. I don't know if you guys are prepared to answer the question if this was something we can force the franchisees to take on our list of pre-qualified people who can do third-party hauling.
Through an ordinance.
It would take an ordinance update.
So.
Okay, so there's work we would need to do.
I would like to level the playing field throughout the county for any hauling to the franchisor, because right now they are dictating who they're taking it from. But if you've got a qualified contractor, and I don't care if he's hauling for us or he's hauling for Evergreen Federal, he's automatically qualified to do that. He becomes on the contractor's list.
There's one concern I have. We have additional qualifications that Evergreen may not have.
So I'm just going to say that
if they pass muster with us, they would pass muster with Evergreen.
If we're stricter,
Evergreen requires additional liability.
You just said we have.
But
that needs to be a conversation for a different day.
Okay.
For the sake of what we have agendized and noticed is for the properties the county is abating because of either our ownership or through court order. This is us creating we're trying to free up the process by pre-qualifying, and then the pre-qualifying applicants can then bid on the project, and we can get things moving quicker.
And we get this thing applied to the county, and we work out any of the bugs, and then maybe we can go.
It's a starting point, but let's bring that other one back for a conversation soon.
Right, because it's going to take
I'll put it on an agenda.
Please.
Yep.
We have another comment.
Someone from the gallery?
Yeah.
Yes.
You might need to come up here for the microphone.
Half the county staff.
So, Ryan Johnson.
I was just looking for clarification because we have a difference on cleanups. Because once it becomes county owned, it's run through facilities. And we currently have a list of pre-qualified contractors. We require that they use dumpsters provided by one of these companies. So
that topic isn't necessarily changing.
Okay.
Unless.
Have you read this at all?
Nope.
Okay, so
we need to see how that dovetails with what you already have in place, maybe?
Because the only reason I ask is because in a lot of cases, it's a real small-scale operation, and a general contractor could do it. And so if we put in place all these different requirements, it's just going to drive our cost up to haul
it's the 3 same
yards
concern,
of trash off.
It's That's the same concern I'm, those third-party haulers have brought to our attention. It's a systemic problem. System-wide problem of, do I have to pay $283 for a dumpster for 3 tires versus can I haul them to the site and pay the $50 or something like that? It is a problem systemically. I don't know how you guys want to deal with this. Contract was meant to ease the process for those we're doing, but does it change the policy for the county-owned ones versus just the abatements?
I don't think so. I don't think it does.
Like, I just
did I add mud to this pile?
That included.
Yeah, sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, we just would require a smaller dumpster, basically, is what we do, depending on the scale.
There is an urgency for us to deal with the third-party hauler issue with the solid waste.
Yeah,
next, but not today.
Correct.
Right.
So it does not appear that this will change what you currently have with pre-qualified people for county-owned abatements.
We can let them review the...
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a mad rush to...
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt.
Pending a review.
But if it doesn't apply to the county-owned ones that are already pre-qualified, if this is dealing with those that are court-ordered, but it's also county-owned?
Yeah. No. It's just court-ordered.
Okay. So then it won't apply. So therefore, him reviewing this doesn't...
We rely on facilities maintenance, though, to get it done.
Just on the county-owned properties.
Not on the abatements.
Just on county,
yeah, just on the county-owned.
Yeah, okay. On the other ones, we just do board-ups. We don't do that.
So I'm just clarifying. This policy doesn't change his program currently.
That's correct.
Okay, so we don't... All right.
Good.
Not that you can't review it, but if it doesn't apply to you, I'm not going to wait on your...
I just wanted to chime in.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. So, realizing this program is a start with just the county court-ordered abatements. Not county-owned, but county court-ordered abatements. That a pre-qualifying list of contractors, for the sake of when the bids happen, they can just be assigned a bid and not have to go through qualifications every time. Is that a good summary?
With no limit to the number.
Correct.
If 20 people want to sign up, they can.
Correct.
Yep.
It just, anybody can pre-qualify.
Right.
Anybody will be referred through the process of pre-qualification, but only if you're pre-qualified can you bid on an abatement cleanup on a court-ordered project with the county.
Yep. That sounds right to me. That's the way I read it.
So, where's the moving forward?
They're going to do it like that. Penalties. Anybody could have done it like that.
I came in a little late. Did you discuss potential penalties?
No.
No.
You would.
This is just the draft of the bid. Now, Commissioners, it is just a draft. Do you want to take the time to look through and see if there's any edits that you want to make for this purpose of just the abatements that are court ordered? Or do you trust it as is?
I look
trust
through
you,
it.
But I don't mind reading through it. Yep. I mean, if it's not something that needs to be done this afternoon, I wouldn't mind reading through it.
Is this,
a Wednesday ordinance?
I think it's done without it getting on the list.
Just a policy.
A policy.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, require, it will go before a weekly business session on an admin?
Yep. Yes.
That is ordinance? Yes.
And we should.
Not an ordinance, just an order.
Just an order? Okay, board order.
Yeah.
Oh. Leah?
It's up to the board as to whether or not it goes before the board, before weekly business session.
Not that I love going before the weekly business session, but given the public visibility on cleanups,
yep.
I may recommend it, even though it's not necessary.
I would recommend it, just...
Yeah, it's getting the message out.
I think I can get it out there, that we're doing something, because this is, this is the part they're going to see.
Yeah, an action item.
It's been a snag in our system all along for a long time. Let's clear that up.
The only thing that's may have not been discussed is we will build in a penalty structure if they fail to clean up on time or if there's problems licensing-wise. We'll have the option to remove them from the list for a set amount of time, so they won't be able to bid for, say, 3 months.
The part I want to read in here is a requirement of SOS and Republic. I want to read what their requirements are, because I've heard what you said. Oh, yeah, we got those dumpsters, and then I hear that during the fire... Sorry, we are all out of dumpsters. They're all out at the fire, and we can't have any to eat until October the 19th or it'll start pouring down rain.
Yep.
And that's not what they claim they can do, and that they have, we have dumpsters set aside for the county. Nope, they all went out. Everything went to the fire.
We got to move on.
We got to keep going because we're on a strict timeline today.
That's my only,
thank you.
I would like to read.
Okay. So I would ask, can we move it to the weekly business session? And if you have any edits before then, that we can either amend that night or get to them before the weekly business session?
You want to do it tomorrow or next week?
No, next week. It's too late for tomorrow.
Yeah,
well, technically, it's not too late for tomorrow, but it gives you time to review it, and next week would be better.
Should I put it on next Tuesday's agenda then?
If you do it for next Tuesday's agenda for review for legal, then it would go to the weekly business session the following week.
No. We'll just set it for next Wednesday.
Okay. And then I'll give you time to follow up with Leah on any changes you'd like there.
Okay.
I don't anticipate anything, but I'm going to show.
We have three elected officials here. Is that for the office hours thing? Okay. I am glad that's next up on the agenda. Sorry that we didn't do that first. You guys' time is cornered. So the next agenda item was countywide office hours. And I asked for this to be on the agenda because I wanted to try to start a conversation about, we're going into budget season where the commissioners are being asked to look at staffing levels, to look at everything else. But we've had numerous feedback from public about how inconsistent office hours are across the county and how people from the public don't know when they can find what department open, and just trying to see, is there a possibility of opening the dialogue of trying to provide more consistent office hours, or just a conversation of what we can do to be. I had at one point thought of what if we, you know, try to see if there's a possibility of making sure that if we are public facing, that there's office hours of at least this many hours a week. And then if it's each department that can set what those days are, if it was, say it was a 40-hour open to the public, that means that it could be 7 to 6, 4 days a week, or some, I mean, just a variety of options. But we're hearing from public to our office that they're struggling to get in during office hours or not sure which departments are open, which ones. And so before we hit budget session, where we would maybe need to address some of that, I thought it would be worth having a dialogue of, is there a possibility of it, or even an ability to set a standard for countywide office hours as far as available to the public?
I just wanted to hand out there in the packet the 2006 order that is not the most current. There's one there. Well, there's
okay,
one.
Sorry.
I forgot to tell you that. Sorry.
Got it. Okay. Did seem rather antiquated.
Leah pointed that out.
All right.
So this is actually the most current one.
It's coming from every direction. Thank you. Thank you. Excellent work finding this pad.
Well, Leah.
And Leah.
You can thank me.
Appreciate
that's
it.
For my.
Right.
So this is an order from 2012 that simply says that there's a need to announce the hours of operation of county offices, and it's proper and necessary that the Board of County Commissioners make available the hours of operation for county offices as set forth by Exhibit A. The exhibit is essentially a table of different hours of operation. So this says assessor is 9:30 to 4 Monday through Friday. Veterans is 9 to 4 Monday to Thursday.
Public health is 9 through 3, Monday
and
to Thursday.
I don't think any of these are current.
Didn't sound like it.
It's just simply the
yeah.
most current order.
Current policy.
And there's one from 06.
And this one replaces order from 2006. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you elected folks. I know that at a minimum the clerk's office can't be closed when the courts are open, right? Or something like that.
My hours are set by statute for reporting.
So, but if the courts are open on that day, are you not required to be open on that day? Because it's come up as an issue with when we close the county or not.
It has to, if there's a snow day.
Okay.
My governing body has to make it an emergency.
Why? I mean, what's the wording of the law? What's the connection?
They're actually working on changing that law.
Okay.
So that it's my discretion. So that's going legislature 2020.
Okay.
We're trying to get done this year, but.
But is it connected to the courts, or is it just reporting in general for the public?
It is reporting general to the public.
Okay, so it's not connected to the courts. So that was a wrong rumor. Okay. So, I mean, just with the three of you, for instance, bringing up the three office hours. Connie, I don't know what the hours are, but it's Monday through Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. Is it 8 to 5?
We're open to the public 9:30 till 4.
Okay.
9:30 till 4.
Is it open at lunch?
So we're open during the lunch hour, right?
Okay.
So we're not open on Friday at all, but we are available by appointment.
Okay.
And all of that is posted on our website. So our hours are posted there.
Website.
And we have them posted by the window. And if somebody comes, you know, if I walk out and I see somebody stand there looking at it, we'll grab them, we'll help them.
Okay.
So it's, you know, we're there. we're usually short-staffed on Friday because that's when people tend to take a day off or, you know, that kind of thing. So it works well for us to be closed on Friday because it really gives us a chance to do things, and we don't have, if we would have to have more front staff if we needed to open more hours. So we would have to have additional front staff, which is why we cut it back to begin with, because it works really well the way we're doing it. We've always got somebody covering during the time we're there. It gives, you know, we have a lot of things that come in during the day that we have to process. So a little bit of time afterwards to clean out the till, time at the beginning of the day to get through some paperwork before people are flooding you. That just, we find that that works for us.
Do most of your staff work 4/10s, or are they, they're fives?
The staff that's full-time is 5 days a week, but we have a number of a front staff who are 20-hour a week people.
Okay.
And they just, they are off schedule so that when one's coming on, the other one can go to lunch, they can cover breaks, and we've still got somebody there. And we can do it with a part-time staff because of the hours that we have.
What are your staffing levels compared to when we cut down operations back in 2010? Has there been an increase of demand over the last few years? I know there's, we, it feels like we're asking more of all the departments.
Yeah, but, you know, we feel like customer service, which, you know, we want to have customer service, but that's about the only thing that we're not mandated to. And so, if I'm going to have extra staff, I would rather be able to spend the money on another appraiser than on additional front staff. And so that's the compromise that we make, is that, you know, where it is our focus needs to be on what our mandated services are. And so, you know, that's one of the elements that we're looking at. You know, if I'm going to ask for another staff person, it's going to be an appraiser, not office person.
Where are you at, Eve?
excuse me. 9:30 to 4 open to the public, Monday to Friday. We use the hour and a half in the morning for balancing, and in the summertime we're counting parks departments, parks, the day use fees. And I do not like doing that when we are open to the public. I like two people, a minimum of two people on the money at any one time. And if we've got customers coming in, that pulls us away from having money sitting on the table. And from 4 to 5, that's also balancing the day. If we still have parks to do, we do parks also in the afternoon. So we could push it back to 9, but I really don't want to. Well, I only have 4 people in my office, including myself. We are open through the lunch unless we are really short-staffed. If one person is gone, we stagger lunches 11:30, 12:30, 1:30. If they're very, very seldom do we have it where there's only 2 people there, but we would have to close for lunch. And we usually put a sign up there, sorry, we'll see assessment, please. No. They can't take your money, but they can answer your questions. But we're
take a check.
Yeah, 5 days a week, 9:30 to 4. We're very comfortable with that, and it really works for the public. I don't like being closed on any day. We want people to come in. We want them to pay their taxes.
Do you know, Connie, what staffing levels you would need to be able to maybe match those hours as far as for Friday?
Not off the top, but I would imagine I need to. I've got 2 part-timers and 1 full-timer right now. I probably have to go to 3 full-time, I would think, with all the benefits involved and everything. So it would be some expense.
Okay. And Rhiannon, where are you at with your hours?
8:30 to noon and 1 to 4. Monday through Friday.
8:30?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
8:30 to 12 and then what? 1 to... Okay, thanks.
And it's the same with, like, my staff has to 8 to 8:30. They're opening their cash drawers. They all have cash drawers from 4 to 5. We have to export all our day recordings. We have to index. We have to proof everything. and we have to balance every drawer and do a cumulative balance to have it ready to take it down. So,
what do you think it would take for staffing for your office to be able to be open for lunch?
At least, yeah. It's near impossible because, I mean, to get qualified, I have had a person in there for 2 years, but she's not qualified to be in the office by herself or with someone else. She just, because she doesn't know everything yet. You know, my office is kind of particular. You know, she has to know to be able to answer questions and stuff. And there's just not employees out there for that.
Yes, sir.
Just going over this list here, I see the value in the 9:30 to 4 that he does. I think that every department, if all departments opened at 9:30, that would give you that hour and a half in the morning, wherever your start time is with your people. It gives you till 9:30 to get situated. You're all talking, things open, you know, doing, catching up from the day before. You have stuff that comes in overnight. It gives you a chance to put that all in without being having a front counter person. If you went 9:30 and 4 on all of these departments except for Community Correction and Juvenile Justice, because they're in a separate building. Also, I don't have a problem with Fairgrounds, Park, Forestry, Public Works, and Transit. Those are all over-the-counter people for taking park reservations and so on and so forth. They're happy with a 9 to 5:30, 8 to 5, and so on and so forth. And then I'm okay with airports being from 8 till 5. But other than that, the function of this courthouse would be 9:30 to 4. Because then when somebody comes in and says, well, this is open, but that isn't, now I need this. But I think if it was publicized that it's 9:30 to 4, gives you adequate time and more to pick up, because we're always saying we're a little bit behind and we never quite get caught up. They give you that little extra hour and a half in the morning to get caught up, and at 4 o'clock give you time to count out at the end of the day, rectify the day, and then move on.
None of these hours are current. So looking at this,
I'm looking at the one that we just got.
It's
none
not current.
Right.
That's 2012. It's, there's nothing current on this list.
Well, there's a few, but
then,
for sure.
We don't have a list of what's current, but I'm hearing 9:30 to 4 seemed like the best in my mind. And Connie was saying that you're closed Friday, mm-hmm. but would 9:30 to 4 on Friday mess you up at all?
With the current staffing levels, she says it would.
Yeah, I would have to have additional staff. Because, and the, what I like about the Friday close is that we can take people by appointment. So we do have some traffic coming in, but it's minimal. And what I find is that a lot of my staff, that's a day that they will tend to take off for a 3-day weekend. And so if we're open on Friday and then they're taking a tight day off, then I've got to have somebody cover that. Where if we're closed on Friday, it's not a big deal if somebody, you know, if half the staff decides they want a 3-day weekend. That's the best day to do it because I don't have to find somebody to cover them. But at the same time, it is a day when a lot of, like, my appraisers, they're going to spend their time catching up on all the stuff they've been gathering all week without getting a lot of interruptions from people.
Are you getting a huge number of complaints on Monday going, I can't believe you weren't open
no,
on Friday?
I have rare, you know, we thought we would hear some complaints when we first did it, and that was several years ago. We didn't hear any pushback at all. And like I said, you know, if we're around, if we see somebody out there looking for us, oh, I didn't know they were closed today, well, come on, we'll help you anyway. You know, we'll grab them and help them. So it's not an issue. And if people call, we say, you know, okay, we're expecting you. Just come and knock on the door, ring the bell. We're here. You know, we'll deal with it. So we're available even though we're not officially open. And it kind of funnels the traffic into a narrower time frame. And then so much of what we get in our office is people doing application for this, application for that. Well, we're grabbing all those applications and then, you know, Friday's a time when you can be processing them. And so, from my perspective, it's the best of both worlds because I don't think we're really, I don't see pushback from the public that we're not there on Friday.
We have received some, though.
But
that's what kind of started the dialogue.
But you know, they shouldn't have to. They can knock on the door. They can, you know, we're there. They can call. And I would suggest that they, you know, if they are downstairs and they see us closed, if they come upstairs to complain to you, call down and say, and ask, you know, there's somebody here that needs to come. Can you let, you know, we'll see them. But we, if they don't let us know that they're there.
If we leave Assessor the way it is, because I'm seeing, first off, and this is going to sound really cold. This is going to sound really cold.
I can put
I don't see staying closed on Friday because I've got people that want to take a 3-day weekend. To those folks, that doesn't fly.
No, but it's not just that.
Okay, but that's not an issue to me. That's not a selling point to me. But if you are catching up with, your assessors are going out on Friday, and you don't have anybody to man that office, and you're comfortable being closed on Friday, I don't mind that for your department. The rest of the building, though, needs some consistency. Mm-hmm. And I'm not interested in, gee, it's because the water fountain isn't cold on Friday because the time clock shut off. Mm-hmm. I am interested in more is like, what kind of consistently is this building open for business? When 8 o'clock in the morning, that shade goes up, the Board of County Commissioners is open for business. Not 9, not 9:15, but 8. I don't want somebody out there waiting at an open sign and an 8 o'clock sign, and it's 8:15 and they're not open. So if we want some consistency, but if yours is the department that Friday you're open, then Monday through Friday, Thursday, you're there from 9:30 to 4 or whatever we choose, then Friday is your only opt-out day. I'm not in favor of that, but it's your department, Connie. You know that. You're an elected official.
Darren.
And you know what your budget is.
And I would also mention, too, just on the sitting out there waiting, if it's 9:15 and I go walk out there and I see somebody who's already waiting, I'll tell my staff to open the window early.
Right. So that's out of courtesy, but that's not a policy. I want something people can count on.
What I'm trying to say is that we are accommodating as much as we can be to people.
And, you know, back to me, we're opening at 9:30.
I think from the public standpoint, that was my thought, is I thought you were 9:30 to 4. I thought that's what the doors...
8:30 to 4. It was noon to 1. And we are the only passport agency in Josephine County. And when I have a family of 6 come in, I have to stop passports at 11:45 because they take time. And when I have a family of 6, then having shared, you know, have to get them out for lunch and stuff, I have people that don't leave for lunch till 3:30 because... I can't just have them say, oh, sorry, I have to go to lunch now. I can't help you. And I have requirements that I have to be open for filing deadlines for election till 5.
You're each going to have your own little nuances, and I had it happen twice last year. That's not a policy changer to me. And the family of 6 that comes in, you're going to deal with that because you work here. You're elected. You're going to take care of it. I get all that. But I'm talking... when somebody walks the halls here and they see this open, but that's not open, and that's not open till then, that's not open to them, that's what we're here
for.
We need to try to get some kind of consensus as to how this is going to work.
For the sake of moving the dialogue along, I think we should revisit it on another day. But I think it would be beneficial for us to hear what staffing levels would need to be to accommodate a consistent schedule.
And so I'd like to see a today version of this.
Yeah.
So we know what we're looking at. But also, I understand the struggle. When the county levy passed and we had juvenile justice and the jail open, that doesn't mean we have full services from the county. Mm-hmm. And the misperception that we're fully funded is false. Mm-hmm. And so this is what happens when you're not fully funded, is you have to cut hours and you have to cut services. But if we could have a consistent 9:30 to 4 or whatever it was, that'd be great. So let's see if we can. But if it's not going to happen, I understand why. And I don't want to put out the wrong perception that, yeah, we're open 8 to 5 because we can do it on a third of our budget that we used to have. That's just not true. And so I think part of it has to be a service level that matches the funding level. And so I'm concerned if we try and stretch our departments to cover something they're not funded to cover. And so I get your concerns, and I see that. I don't want to mess up that perception of reality. of where we're at. Yeah, I don't want to set up a false perception.
But also my intent was this to start a dialogue, but we are on a really tight schedule because budget meeting at 4, so I'm going to move on the conversation. And we would love to dialogue with you further. It's meant to be a conversation and to see what we can do, but we are going into budget season. And at the time of looking at what of our needs and our asks, this is when we can be looking at the hours of operations. And I know different departments are looking at different things, but we are on a tight time frame today because of a 4 o'clock meeting next door.
I just want to really quick echo there, Darren, because that is what's precipitated this. Our hours happened when the budget cuts were happening.
Yeah.
And we were reflecting that by cutting back on staff.
I hear you. But thank you, Connie, and thank you all for being here. I'm sorry to pull you away from your other jobs. So next up is the ADA coordinator position. And we have everybody in the room, I guess.
I think we do.
Who's this person sitting here? Who was this person?
She was from WIC. And
oh, that was the public health.
She was here for the hours. I don't know why she duplicated Michael's, but.
Got it. I don't know either. Okay, I'll follow up with them. Okay, so ADA coordinator position. Go ahead, Wally.
Oh, certainly. All right. So lots of discussion has occurred since we discussed it last week, which there was a bit of a miscommunication, I think, and I do apologize to Ryan. Anyway, we're back on track. JJ has presented or has evaluated various options for the board to consider. Coming out of this agenda item, we would look for the board to basically make a decision on what you want us to do. I try to keep the agenda as pared down today as possible, but all this stuff that's on here, we actually are going to need the board to do something on all of it. So this is the first one going into that. Okay.
So last week, the board elected to post the ADA coordinator / office manager position, but we didn't realize that Ryan had had a discussion with his liaison and had a plan of option to implement that position by restructuring some internal positions. And in discussing that with Ryan, he wanted to give the board the opportunity to look at other options outside of the facilities department. We had discussed it being in facilities, but really, it could go other places as well. And he wanted the board to have the option of looking at those other options as well. So I put together a short memo codifying what it would look like, pros and cons, in facilities, in legal, in human resources, or in the board's office.
Got to chase and tell them where we think it should go.
And well, just to be clear, I'm completely fine with it being in facilities. I think it can be a real functional piece in our department. I try to grow from within and keep the chemistry in the department, make it a real functional position. And so when this all came about, my goal was to kind of realign and promote from within and backfill in order to keep the train moving on the same tracks and still satisfy this position and get the job done.
My biggest concern is making sure that we're following what you believe we need to be doing. And that's, we didn't create this position just to create another position. And though it does feel like we are adding more positions here and there, I understand that concern too. This was a very specific need and requirement. And a couple weeks back, we had a meeting with, and you weren't there, and it was kind of like, why are we talking about this without you, who is the driver of us getting the position? And I think that's why we didn't have that conversation this morning. I honestly think that we need to be looking at a bigger picture of what's the best output, the most efficient, effective place that can be, and that's where it needs to go, of what we'll have. We have to be compliant with that piece. Where are we now?
Right.
I know
what's
you all
the,
have had,
what's
you
the prevailing
had
thought?
Lots of conversations.
I'll dive in. We have had, and they have been productive. And I haven't engaged directly with Ryan at this particular thing. But so in the past, the ADA coordinator, which the county had until 7, 8, 9 years ago, give or take, from what I understand, was in risk management. I think the official title was assistant risk manager, and that's an option here. Of course, putting it legal is an option. We could pair it up with a the property manager and maybe take on some additional stuff there, but it does make sense to probably put it in one of those two departments. I've got no objection to put it in risk management. That seems to make sense to me. I don't think JJ has an objection, but I'm not his spokesman.
It's a pretty common place for it, and in fact, City of Medford has that exact position.
They do.
And it would allow us to do some things that we couldn't currently do. Ryan also is willing to take it, but he would prefer that if he takes it, he implements it the way he would like to, which would be restructuring and going with an internal candidate. I mean, the advantages, he can institute the plan quicker. The disadvantages is there would be a learning curve on getting up to speed on all of the ADA compliance issues.
We would also be using a third party, I believe, to help satisfy by having an assessment done on all the properties. And there was money budgeted for that.
Specifically ADA assessment?
Yes, specifically for that. And then we would gather the data and continue on with it. So that's how I see it.
Wouldn't foresee that changing. I mean, the county is required to have an ADA officer, you know, and technically it's me right now.
Right.
Everything else I'm doing, right?
Because it has to fall somewhere.
We found out the hard way, I think some of us recall, about how we found that out, that we needed one. So it has to fall somewhere. There is an ongoing need for the county to have someone as a point person on this issue. It is what's supposed
to happen. At least in the immediate future.
Oh, definitely.
Two or three years. Yeah, and then it'd fade over. Well, what's the prevailing recommendation then? I'm catching a couple different veins.
But in the position of risk management, they just work.
Do we have a risk manager right now? You. So in other words, you're going to be an ADA and risk manager, or you're going to hire somebody else?
We would hire someone to be.
And it's going to go through HR. Mm-hmm. And the risk is, and the ADA is, compliance is, all with his operation, correct?
No.
Or no?
Buildings and properties.
Okay, tell me.
Buildings and properties.
Yeah, so the ADA has a number of avenues, one of which is access, and the primary department that would resolve the access issues is facilities.
Yes.
However, there's a number of other ADA avenues. I mean, our website has some ADA implications. Yep. All of the personnel side of ADA goes through human resources. So ADA has a wide streaming purvey.
Well, it does. I mean, he's already handling ADA issues in terms of personnel.
Yeah.
You got facilities, right?
And then you got personnel required.
They already handle a lot of. No concerns there.
Okay, that's an example I think I was looking for. Right?
Yeah.
Right. He's already in the ADA business.
Okay, thank you.
Not for facilities, but for the hiring and firing.
For the whole thing. Thank you. I think that was the answer.
With all due respect, I think it lies over here. Because not only is it a majority a function of construction, but it also puts that person in a position to advance in that department after this ADA compliance crescendo is over. And so it seems like they're going to be...
I don't think the crescendo will be over.
Then a person could do ADA compliance on a certain building at this place and also do something else that day and not be just, all I ever do is handicap. I've never touched anything else.
Well, both positions that we're looking at, whether if it's in human resources, it'll be risk management /ADA. That is an ongoing need for the totality of the county's operation. If it is in facilities, it's ADA with some office management oversight, which is also a need that is pervasive for his department. So both departments have needs that either position could facilitate.
Could benefit.
Can it be that you maintain the ADA side of it, and we have two people that already work here. They're both the same building. You're handling part of it now, and you're handling part of it now. Is there anything wrong with leaving it like that?
I'm fine with
down in the facilities part of it, which is we need a ramp over here. We need a ramp. We got a sidewalk that needs to be fixed up at planning or whatever.
And we do that already without just internally in facilities. The ramps, you can see going in, we don't have an ADA coordinator, that, and we just did it at the airports. We put in ADA bathrooms. So it's something we do already. But if HR, risk management feels it's better served there, I'm fine with that. I was just going to do it in conjunction with an office manager position, and I can go forward with just the office manager position without that compliance.
I'm not interested in that at all. I don't know the justification for another office person. We just added an office person last year, the year before, to your office. And I don't... Well, it's still one of those things that I don't know that that's the best route. And what we're trying to fulfill is this. We're not here to create positions in your other departments. We're here to meet this obligation alone.
That's right.
And I'm fine with that.
And so I'm not, this isn't an opportunity to say, let's add all two. What is the need? What are we required to do?
Yeah.
We're still in negotiations.
We are. And
I don't want to water down anything. I quite frankly almost wonder if neither are the right. I don't know. I'm thinking bigger picture of structural and different stuff, and there's a whole lot of conversations there. But for what is required for meeting our obligations, who's going to have the most authority to get things done, to assess and determine and follow through? Which department is that right fit is what we need to determine. What are your thoughts?
Why you look at me, Weed Hoffman?
Because you're talking your pen.
Well, I'm frustration.
In talking with Ryan, one thing that he pointed
click
out, which I thought was very astute, is typically when you're doing like a compliance audit, it's fairly atypical to have the person doing the compliance audit live in the same department that's going to execute the plan. And that's, I mean, I was trying to advocate for him taking it, and he said, what about this?
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty astute
observation. I think your office is actually a better fit, and quite frankly, I don't care about. I do care about the personalities in your department, but that's not what we're here to fix. We're here to fix this, and this person might rub wrong desires and personal conflicts, but their purpose is to be able to make these tough decisions that we have to get done that have been determined to need to still be done. And
along with the other functions in the department.
No.
So
no, we
well,
created
if it's
this
live
position
under the department, then it's got to function under the department.
No, it does not. It does not. This is an independent task that has to be done regardless of where it's done, and they have to realize they have the full backing of the board to get their job done, regardless of which departments they have to partner to do that. And as much as personalities are important and not disrupting the cart, the job and the liability trumps that concern.
Well, and
unless we can get both done. But they have to be able to call you and say, I'm pushing back, and have that authority to do so.
And for me, I don't want an administrator sitting in someone else's office creating work orders for you to go do.
I agree.
Well, and that's what goes back to what JJ was saying. If it lives in my department and we're kind of self-policing, then we're going out saying, typically it's not done that way.
Ultimately,
it's a good point.
I don't think we're going to say, hey, Ryan, thou shalt. It's going to be, here's the problem. Let's come up together with a plan to resolve it within our budget. And
contract it out, or you guys do it, or whatever.
And this probably is a better served position in risk management, in my position, or legal. The repair piece, obviously, is facilities. But as far as compliance, we are not a compliance department. We are a
Well, one person may become that. But
yeah.
Right. So I get the pros and cons, and I'm struggling.
You can put it under the board.
Yeah.
And that's an option, too. I think JJ even covered the pluses and minuses in his document there.
Where do we stand?
Where do you stand?
I want to upturn the card even more. I think we have the ability to do it, but I don't think it's today's conversation. I want to follow up with Wally and
you want
make
an option five.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I want.
I got a little time for that.
I, I almost want to look at creating a program under finance. That's risk management, property management, the ADA, separately putting them back under finance.
Interesting.
And
right.
Where it used to be. And I think that would be...
I think that's better than just hiring someone for this.
Correct.
And then firing...
Arthur's not in the room. This is a great time to bring it up.
It's on the menu.
Sign
so, but I'm not... I want to have that conversation. And I think it's a fit where those can go in a bigger picture, that there's components of the other, but it's an ISF.
Well, in, a,
it's a,
in an effort to time, get an option five and a pro and con.
Okay.
Can I ask that we remove
together,
the posting?
Morgan.
Because I'm getting a lot of questions from within my department and other areas about
delay it until we're...
Well, the posting was created with... I mean...
But it's under facilities right now.
I hear you, but that was where we thought it was...
part of the conversation.
That was where we thought it was going, but again... The job was created not with where is it going to end up. It was with the project to get done, and that's what we have to keep in mind of where that right fit is.
But just
and that's why I like
just
option
so,
number one.
Yeah, just so I'm clear, is through this whole process from beginning to end, I haven't been at a single meeting or discussion about it being in facilities, and then a posting happens. So to me, that's odd.
Right.
I don't disagree, and I don't know why you weren't brought in sooner.
I would ask that we remove the posting under facilities.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Let's get it
Let's
in
do
a
that.
Right fit.
Let's do a reboot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, and I mean, you have a great staff, and you guys have a smooth system working.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't to upturn your cart.
Yep.
It is, though, to be a position that can independently operate with all those departments, whether it's in your house or not. They have a job to get done, and we have to find that right fit.
And I'm with you. It should be a functional position.
Yep.
I'm not a supporter of creating positions just to create.
I agree.
So.
Medford has no problem keeping this person busy.
Is it
yep.
is it risk management and compliance, or
yeah.
is it two
it's,
separate
it's,
jobs? The one job
it's
in Medford?
One, yeah. It's
or
one
Jackson?
Job. She's assistant risk manager slash ADA compliance officer.
Okay.
Kay.
And, yeah, I had a good meeting with her a while back.
She's very good.
She's very
Can
good.
I
she's kind of good.
Quick comment?
Yeah.
So the International Code Council has a certification for ADA.
Mm-hmm.
It's 117, and we actually go through it in our department. So if you're going to bring somebody up from another area here,
right.
we can put them through training for that certification.
Yeah. And that, that's
exactly
that's
great.
The route
that
we
is.
Would be looking if they were.
Nice chime in.
Yes. Two in one day.
Okay. Whoa. You know, you're on fire, Mark Stevens. We got to keep moving.
I love it.
This next will be short.
Okay,
got one
but we have
board and we move
four
on.
Executive session items after.
They will not
isn't
be
that
short.
Exciting?
We get back
okay.
I promise.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you, Ryan.
Good start of the conversation.
Next is draft notice and order for transfer of jurisdiction of a portion of Allen Creek Road to the City of Grants Pass. Dan, this first came to us last week. The City of Grants Pass asked us to... move forward on a jurisdictional exchange. We had it in a
transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sorry. It's not a jurisdictional
not exchange.
You're right. It's a transfer of land. I got to get that language changed. We gave instruction for legal to move forward on preparing for that process last week. We didn't want to move ahead without you, but we felt that at least getting it started for the result of getting a final decision, and that's where we are today.
And so to jump to the end, if everyone's satisfied with that summary, which covered all the points worth making, we're just looking for the date upon which the board would have the hearing. Of course, the hearing is technically optional, but it was the consensus to go through the formal process, and that's a good idea. So
is this to be presented to the City of Grants Pass, or have they already seen this? And
no, you've seen it.
City of Grants Pass has already approved on their end receiving. They're asking us to now give.
To give.
It would have to be the other way around, though.
They
would still be
shown intent
to do a resolution.
Right.
Yes.
So,
where's the date?
We're giving a border.
The
right.
date is June 5th. That if you go with June 5th, that gives you 4 weeks beginning tomorrow to post the notices.
And the paper says they can put it in tomorrow, right?
Well, no, it doesn't go in the paper. It gets posted. Remember?
Oh,
yeah, oh I thought we were doing both.
Oh, well, then we don't have time to do it tomorrow.
Oh, I think, yeah, I guess I had a miscommunication. I think we weren't on the same. I was thinking you said we could get it in tomorrow's edition.
No.
Okay.
Because I didn't know the board.
Does it have to be 30 days? Is that why the...
It has to be 4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay.
Yeah, once a week for 4 consecutive weeks.
Okay.
So we're going to post and put it in the paper?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that was...
yeah.
Here's my concern.
I don't remember.
We don't know... I wanted to err on the side of caution of making sure we did the full extent of notifications versus the least amount.
The double transparency instead of minimum?
Correct. Yeah. Do the maximum amount of notifications.
So you'd be looking at one more week, or, I mean, because it would take me a week to get it in there.
Which is
it takes
okay.
3 days, but.
June 12th. Is everyone going to be here?
That's a night.
Wolf Creek.
We are in Wolf Creek.
Thank you.
May 15th in Wolf Creek?
June 12th.
June 12th.
So next week. It doesn't have to be a Wednesday, by the way.
That's true. They
probably shouldn't, in fact. Maybe you shouldn't try to couple up because there could be kind of a high turnout, lengthy meeting. So let's find a date.
Like get it around it. Plus, I'd rather it was in GP so everyone had general access.
Definitely.
And not a night meeting.
Yeah.
You want a night meeting.
And not a business session?
No, we're not deciding yet. We're just talking out loud.
Probably not, though.
Do you want a night meeting or a morning meeting?
I'm ambivalent. I think the interested parties will make it.
19th is night, I think.
Morning.
Morning. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
This 19th is a morning.
Yep.
26th is the night?
No.
9 a.m., 9 a.m. The 12th is Wolf
is
Creek
the
is the only night one.
That's the night one, okay.
Yeah.
Aha.
I apologize.
19th is fine with me.
Sooner the better, because I want to get this thing done.
That's what we understood.
Yeah. And let and unleash the city.
Yes.
So
yes. It'll be quiet.
Yep.
So
we're not required to do the newspaper notifications, but we were opting to do them.
Can put the newspaper or posting.
Mm-hmm. Can we just short circuit it to 3 weeks in the newspaper? Because we're doing double coverage?
Well, I don't think that it says anything like that.
No?
We have to.
Because we don't have to notice in the paper.
why the 4 weeks on this and not 4 weeks of posting on everything else?
It's.
Is it land transfer?
It's the statute.
It is,
that determines that.
We went over this point last week, but sorry. It says, so this is the exact language of the statute. To initiate a proceeding for the transfer of jurisdiction under this section, the county governing body, upon its own motion or upon request of the city, shall give notice by, posting in 3 public places in the county, one of which shall be within the city limits of the city, or publishing the notice once a week for 4 successive weeks in some newspaper of general circulation in the county. So you have 2 options, either posting in 3 places or posting in the newspaper for 4 successive weeks. And the discussion last week resulted in a desire to do both.
Right.
If we posted in tomorrow's paper, it just says in 4 consecutive weeks. We could go 1 week could be the 15th, the 22nd, the 29th, and then the 3rd would be that 4th week.
I know, I was wrong about that. I was thinking
we could do this on the 5th.
I know. Can't, it's too late to put it in the paper tomorrow.
Why? We'll put it in the paper tomorrow. Can't you put it in tomorrow? You can't for tomorrow?
What about Thursday?
You have to have 3-day notice. 3-day. I mean, sometimes I could get it to him and maybe get the
letter to the editor. Don't wait 3 days.
I don't
the
know
classified
that.
Section does.
It's a classified, so 3 days on a classified?
In general, unless there's someone that pulls strings for us.
It doesn't
the
have to be
thing to put it on our website. And it's got to be in a paper.
Let's keep in mind, it doesn't have to be on a Wednesday.
That's what I mean. It doesn't have to be on a Wednesday. It's in 4 consecutive weeks. So if we did it, if you posted it tomorrow, in 3 days it would come out on Friday, right?
Yes.
Or Saturday.
Once a week for 4 consecutive weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be...
it doesn't have to be 4 weeks long.
It doesn't
to
have to be
forward.
Posted Wednesday.
No.
It's just once.
So if you put it in tomorrow, it'd come out in Saturday's paper, the 11th.
I don't think I can get it in tomorrow.
If you have the posting, you've met the requirement, then
then whatever you put in the paper is just gravy.
That's what I tried to say.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
that's
you don't have
that's
to have it.
Good point.
That's true.
Yeah, we're satisfying the statute with
the
postings.
Yes.
We can publicize 3 weeks in the paper and go, hey, we did over and above.
You already are. You don't even have to comply with that statute.
Right.
If we
apply,
do
but
the
because
part.
Of our desire to.
If we,
right.
decide,
we wouldn't have to make
have
it.
To
do you want to just do it once in
if
the
did,
paper then?
If you did the first.
If we're, I mean, if we're going to go rogue, I mean, we
if
might
you
as well.
Do, if you do A, you only need 2 weeks in the paper. Right?
How does June 5th look? I know everyone's talking, but can we go back to Wendy? How does June 5th? Okay.
Great.
So we're
yeah,
going to
then
go
then
to
we'll
day.
3 weeks.
Yep, yep, yep.
Get this thing over.
June 5th and publish. What do we want to, how often do we want to publish?
Every week up until then. I think.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Yep.
It'll be in Friday's paper, yeah. probably.
Maybe
Saturday's.
The weekend.
Might be yep. Friday and a Monday.
Weekend.
That's 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so
I'll
gun
try
line.
To get it in as soon as I can.
Slide into the gun line.
But there's another
the first day of the month. Shoot. Wake up the next morning. Shoot again. That's 2 months ago.
So this decision doesn't have to be made immediately, but because the order would not happen until the hearing. But
right.
if you guys could take a look at that order, there's some. Questions, I mean, just to make sure that all of the whereases are what you would want. And then the only other question is right before the ordered part on page 2, you have a decision to make whether you want to give the city a time limit to accept. You don't have to. In other words, it says right now with acceptance of the offer, no later than. That whole phrase could come out. It's we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what's normal, like 90 days, 30 days?
We don't generally give.
Give an end?
No. Because generally it was always under that UGB. We've been giving the city roads because it was under that UGB agreement.
Agreement.
And
right.
this is kind of a little bit different. So it's in there in case you want it there, but we can bring that back. We can bring that back and give you guys some time to take a look at it. The only thing we would need today is a motion about the notice.
The county upon its own motion.
Yes.
Is what the language of the statute is. So
I don't think we need to put a no later than because they better.
No, they're going to jump on it.
They're going
to
okay.
jump on it because strictly yeah. if they don't, they're at risk of losing this whole mess up.
I know.
Right.
So I think,
so
we'll, we can
so
take
I think
that
Dan's
in.
Right. On
okay.
that. I agree. Yeah.
All right.
So, Chair will welcome a motion.
I would welcome a motion.
And I would move the approval.
And I'll second the motion.
Everybody clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe do a vote just since it's formal.
No, I will.
Okay.
I just, any
we'll make
further?
Sure.
With acceptance of the offer by the City Grant Festival.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
yeah.
you're not really adopting the order today. It's
we're just saying move forward.
We're just
with
moving
the
forward.
Forward.
Motion to move forward to the June 5th with the notifications as we discussed.
Yes.
Yep.
And the instructions inserted. Okay. So
move
all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0.
Okay. Very good.
Keep that moving.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Any additional matters subject for commissioners?
No, ma'am.
I have one official. 2 years ago, the board approved me to apply for the BLM RAC, which is a Regional Advisory Council. Funding through SRS Title 2 goes through that body. I would like to reapply. They just opened it up. They did not appoint anybody in the last 2 years, and they've reopened it up for applications. Unless you guys would like somebody else, I would like to reapply, and if that's the blessing, to get a letter of support from the board.
I move that we write a letter of support from the board.
Yeah,
I
bless that as well.
For
do you want a motion?
He just moved.
Then I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Then, that's all the item I had. The time is now to go into executive session. We will be meeting in executive session for the following agenda items. 6A is Josephine County versus Garnier, case number ORS 1926602H. Item 6B, a letter dated 4/9/19 from attorney Frank Gephardt regarding fuel supply contract with City Service Falcon LLC, ORS 1926602H. 6C is recruitment process for Board of Commissioners Executive Office Manager, test RS-192-6602F. 6D, request for release for confidential records, public records request, Pappas and Hall, RS-192-6602F. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff will be allowed to attend executive session. All of the members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session, welcome the audience back into the room. Recorder will now be turned off at 3:05 p.m. It is 3:46 p.m. We're back in general session. Just in summary, we've given direction to staff and how to proceed with the Garnier case, and they'll be proceeding with making those contacts to proceed in that manner. Regarding the letter, we discussed some options, and you're going to be corresponding and seeing next steps.
Yes, I am.
As far as recruitment for board executive manager, that was actually dealt with in a previous executive session, and we didn't even talk about it. Release of confidential records, we've expressed that status, and we're going to be
yes.
following up.
Yes.
Item 7 is additional subject matters from commissioners. I just want to let you guys know we got an email. The senators of Oregon have both reached out to Department of Agriculture asking for a legal explanation of why they did sequestration. So they're going to bat for us on the sequestration topic. So just
great.
As an FYI.
Well, that's good, yes.
All right. Is there anything further? All right.
No,
we are adjourned at 3:48.